It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It has been warm this week, got up into the 30s, and so the sidewalks have been clear, and people have been walking out again, and nobody has slipped and fallen on ice since Wednesday was the last one. It was the delivery man who came in from the bakery in Little Falls, and he was delivering at the Sons of Canute Temple. He was delivering 14 pumpkin pies and 6 cherry in big cardboard boxes, and he slipped and he fell, and he fell on top of the pies, so it made this horrendous mess. And so the Sons of Canute, they'd ordered them for their January gala, and so they had to go with apple crisp, which is not what we think of as a gala type of dessert. It's more like school lunch program. And then the lutefisk went bad, which was supposed to be the entree. I know you're asking, how would you know? Well, it had been left outdoors, and it was too warm for storing lutefisk, and there were raccoon tracks around it. And there just was a particular taste to the lutefisk, and it just didn't seem right to people. And so that had to be put aside, and they got about 30 pounds of turkey loaf instead, which is not a gala dish at all. But, people made do with it, that's all. It's a little uneasy, this warm weather. I mean, in a way, it's okay. You know, it's more comfortable, I guess, and you can go for a walk and so forth. But you worry about those guys who are driving pickups out onto the ice, you know, and you think about them, And you want it colder when you've got this flu season, this terrible flu virus, this 21-day flu virus that's with us now that the vaccine just isn't working against. When it's 20 below, it keeps that flu virus under control somewhat. But now it's out there all over, and people are catching this terrible flu, and it's a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful thing. There weren't many people in church on Sunday because of the flu. People did not come, and if you went to church, there was just so much coughing and sneezing in the sanctuary, you could hardly concentrate on the sermon. And then the sharing of the peace after the sermon. I mean, Marlis had put a note in the bulletin that said, in this flu season, please have the courtesy not to shake hands, but share the peace in some non-tactile way. But people are people of habit, and so Roy went around, charging around the sanctuary, shaking hands with everybody, not just the people in his pew. And what are you going to do, you know? And there he was. Instead of sharing the peace, he was sharing his sickness with us, and people started to feel symptoms almost right away. And Mrs. Ostrand was emotionally moved by the gospel, which was about Herod and the murder, the slaughter of the innocents, and she ran around hugging people as if they were goners, and you know, you tried to hug her without skin contact, and that's not an easy thing. And then what do you do? I mean, what, do you go off and wash your hands after the sharing of the peace? It looks like you're trying to evade the collection, and But people started to feel sick right away. He collected germs from all over the room, and he had distributed them evenly. And now they started to feel this headache, and people coughing. And then during the postlude, as she played the postlude, Tibby Markland let out this enormous sneeze, and she couldn't bring her arms up to shield it. And so you saw millions of globules flying out into the sanctuary, and the church emptied in about 10 seconds, and people went home, and they did whatever they do to try to ward off the flu. I mean, there's one thing you can do, and that's to go outdoors about 5 or 10 times a day and wash your face and hands in snow, and take your time doing it. And that's supposed to help. Some people take big doses of vitamin C. Some people just, you know, drink a lot of liquids. Some people down at the sidetrack tap drink other kinds of liquids. But Eloise Krebsbach read a blog that said that stress contributes to the flu. And one form of stress is caused by clutter and chaos and confusion. And by ordering your home, you can reduce this stress. So she set out to do it. And she packed up all of her books and all of her knickknacks and all of her souvenirs in boxes, and she sent them off to give them away. She's got three teenagers living at home, so there's a lot of clutter. The kids had to go live in the basement. They couldn't live up on the first floor. And she redid her house. Her living room now has white walls, no pictures, just two mirrors at either end facing each other. So if you sit in this one spot, you see a reflection of a reflection of a reflection of a reflection. It's a kind of a Buddhist thing. There's a couch and then two chairs facing the couch, a white carpet, and an earth box in the middle of the room, 8 by 8, a shallow wooden box in which she has carefully deposited 600 pounds of black dirt, all smooth and beautiful, to sit and meditate on. Well, the kids had gone off to the cafe to have a cheeseburger because she was having brown rice and Brussels sprouts for supper the other night. And she was cooking the brown rice, and she heard a meow. They had forgotten to take the cat out, the kids, though she told them three times. She heard a meow and a scratching sound. And she walked into the living room, and the cat was on the earth box, and it had made a deposit, and it was scratching dirt back between its hind legs onto the white carpet. Eloise remained perfectly calm and cool. She lifted up the cat. She opened the door. She tossed it out into the snow, maybe a little farther than she meant to, but tossed it out. She got out a vacuum. She cleaned up the rug. She removed the cat material from the box. She threw that out. While she did that, she smelled smoke. The brown rice and the Brussels sprouts were burning in the kitchen, and somebody had already called the fire department. And before she could ward them off, they had come to the side door, the door that's always unlocked, and they had come in, six firemen in their big boots, and they came right in, and they sprayed the stove and the kitchen with this white material. She remained cool, very calm, very calm. But she could start to feel symptoms of the flu coming on now. This is a virulent flu. This is a flu that begins with exhaustion and also feelings of being misunderstood and bitterness and you develop an antipathy to the voices of your near and dear, your loved ones. They just irritate the crap out of you, and people come to the door of your room and ask you if you're feeling better, and you screech at them. You hear this screeching voice coming out of your own head saying, "You ruined my life." This is the flu as we know it. It goes on for 21 days, and nobody wants to get it. Well, she was starting to feel a little sick, and then she smelled this terrible odor, and she went into the downstairs toilet, and it was coming up from the toilet. She tried to flush it, and this horrible brownish-gray material came up in the bowl, up right to the rim, and stopped. She took a plunger. She tried to push it down, and it just would not go. And then she heard shouting out in the street, and she saw flashing red and blue lights out there, and the fire truck was out there, and they had the hose out, and somebody had pulled up the manhole cover there on Main Street and McKinley, and the ground had heaved up there. The whole sewer system was going to pieces. It was the great sewage backup of 2015. And it took a day and a half to figure out exactly what had happened, but it began with that pumpkin pie, which that delivery man had dropped, and it was ruined, except Mr. Berge saw half of one pie was still good, and so he ate half of one pie and immediately began to feel bilious and then really sick. His solution, his prevention of the flu virus has been to eat yeast. He read this somewhere. And when that pumpkin met that yeast, it just formed this explosive fungal growth in his innards. He got to a toilet right away, and he released it, and he flushed, but it went down into the sewers, and it was doubling in size every 3 seconds. It was just devouring everything that was down in the sewer. You don't even want to think about it. They had to excavate, and the pipe was coming up through the ground, and it was exposed, and they could see the seething, steaming, stinking mass that was coming up from Main Street. It was the end of all things. It was the end of the town. And then Mr. Berge remembered that toxic lutefisk, and he ran and he got it, a big tub of it, and he dumped it in, and that was the solution. That was the solution to the problem. It was a nuclear solution, but it worked. Toxic lutefisk has a power beyond anything that we know. There are things in this world that you and I do not understand, and gradually this plague subsided, and they managed to put the manhole cover back on. And if you ask people in Lake Wobegon about this now, they will claim not to know a single thing about it, because we just don't like to talk about disaster in our town. So beautiful winter when it all quiets down. You get up at dawn and the sun comes up, and you see the frost on the grass and on every branch of the trees. You open your door. There is no sound, no bird sound, no bug sound at all. You see a little flash of red as a cardinal flies by. You see a blue jay coming to the feeder. You see little movements, and then you're startled to see a movement in the woods, a deer moving gracefully like royalty between birch trees, and on it goes. This season that so many of our friends and relatives claim to be troubled by and to despise, bringing us the most beautiful natural scenes that we'll ever see in our lives. That's the irony of life. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.